Thank you, Jesus. Lift your hands, all you saints, you mighty men and women of God. Isaiah 9 says to us that for unto us a child is born and a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and his peace, there will be no end. That is the God we are worshiping this morning. We are worshiping the risen King, the Son that was given unto the earth, the Son that bore the rugged old cross, the Son that was died and was buried in a borrowed tomb, and the Son that rose again by the mighty hand of his Father, triumphant over death, over sin, over every disease, every sickness, every form of lack and loss. Jesus Christ rose over it, rose above it, and he is seated at the right hand of his Father in heaven. This is the God we sing of. This is the God that we serve. This is the Lord who fills the hearts that will believe it, to every heart that is open and willing to receive the gospel message. To that heart, this King, this Prince of Peace, shall make his home. He will gladly be welcomed in. The house need not to be swept and tidied. Everything need not to be put in its place and hidden away, but Christ simply asks, take me as I am and I take you as you are. My friend, I do not know where you're at in your relationship with the Christ this morning, but you need not to try and tidy your life any longer, to try to do in your strength what can only be done in the strength of the Lord God Almighty. That if you would open your heart unto Him this Easter day, this Resurrection Sunday, as Romans 8 tells us, the same Spirit that drew Christ out of the grave is the same Spirit that fills the hearts and lives of everyone that opens to it. And that Spirit, as it gave life to Christ, shall also give life unto your mortal bodies. Open your hearts to the Christ this Easter. Allow the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, to step through the threshold of your life and be seated in your innermost being. Right now, there's hearts that are opening. Right now, Christ is beckoning unto you, calling your name. Receive me. To all who are thirsty, to all who are hungry, to all who are weary, He is the Savior of. Not of the strong and the self-sufficient, He is their Savior, but to the weak, to the needy, to the lost, to the dry soul and the hungry heart, He is the bread and He is the water. He is the sustenance for the soul. We thank you, Jesus, for this day. It is just as alive as it was that very first day you walked out of that grave. The same Spirit, the same power, the same God. It's as though it is the same day in God's eyes. He is not stuck on a linear timeline. We thank you, Jesus. Amen. You can grab a seat this morning. Well, welcome to church and happy Easter. I'm so thrilled that you are here this morning. If you're visiting with us from out of town, welcome. So thrilled that you're in Taupō, the greatest place in Aotearoa. In C3 Church, not the greatest church, but it is a great church. You're fabulous. Welcome, welcome to our regular whānau family. So pleased that you're here with us. And if you're just kind of back because maybe you haven't been for a little while, I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of you. Comebacks can be glitchy, but you've shown your courage, you've shown your resoluteness, and you've shown me your hunger to be in church and to celebrate with your brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus one of the greatest, if not the greatest, event in all of humanity. It's an arm wrestle between Jesus' miraculous conception and his miraculous resurrection. But it's the same guy. This morning is electric. I can feel God in the air. It's like when I reach my arms heavenward, it's like there's electricity around me. And it's around you too. You may not have experienced it or felt it, but that does not mean God is not near. He is present. He is going to do a miracle in your life this morning. We've already prayed for it. Thank you, Pastor Sarah. But at the end of the service, we're going to go again. I just want to tell you what's going to happen so you can let your faith build as I share my message. But that first song we sang, Breathe Miracles, we're going to sing it at the end. And you, my friend, are going to come to the altar of this church and allow God to breathe a miracle into you this morning. On Resurrection Sunday, the day when the disciples ran to the tomb and found it empty, because he was not dead, in fact, he is risen. The same day when God raised Christ out of the grave by the power of his Spirit, and that same Spirit is still at work on the earth to do untold miracles. This morning, at the end of this message, God is wanting to do a miracle in your life. If you're sick, carrying cancer, diabetes, heart disease, issues with your liver, you need to be on the altar and let God breathe a miracle into your body. He said that he will give life to your mortal bodies. That's a promise. God doesn't talk in like a riddle. Like, oh no, that's not what I actually meant. It was just like a metaphor. No, no. He said that even in your old age, you will stay fresh and green. If you suffer from arthritis, if you suffer from gout, if you suffer from like tendonitis issues where your flexibility is failing you, God says that even in your old age, you will stay fresh and green like a tree that can blow in the breeze. It will bend, but it shall not break. If you need a miracle in your mind, you're plagued by depression, you're plagued by low self-esteem, when you look in the mirror, one part of you knows you're beautiful, but another part of you tells you you're never pretty enough. God wants to deliver you and set you free. If you need a miracle in your circumstances, maybe in your finances, you're believing for a house, you're believing for a business, you're believing for just a financial miracle. You've budgeted, you're good with your money, but you're still like, I need a miracle. God's going to breathe a miracle into you this morning. The song can't go on forever. So when the opportunity comes, my friend, seize it. Take it. Do not think next Easter or next Sunday. There are miracles in the room this morning. I'm so confident of it. It's ridiculous. Reach out and take it. Let faith arise within you. Don't dilly-dally when you hear the word of the Lord. Don't begin an internal debate. Go with it. Step out of the boat. Stretch out your hand. Pick up your mat and walk. Open your eyes and see. The doorways into heaven. And I'd like them to stay open forever, but what I've found is God, in the atmosphere of saints and faith, there is opportunities and an openness for miracles to be imparted from heaven into earth. That is why we do what we do. I'm so excited for you. Amen. Amen. Sorry. Thank you, Laura. So I'm gonna preach this morning. I want to share a message, and it may not seem like a conventional Resurrection Sunday message, whatever a conventional Easter Sunday message is. But nonetheless, it is going to arrive at a point where you will want to give your life to Jesus Christ. And there's people in the room this morning that when I ask you, do you need to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? That is your moment to say, yes, I need to receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Surely, as there is physical birth and physical death, there is spiritual birth and there's also spiritual death. And Jesus Christ, through Him, gives us spiritual birth. He gives an awakening and a birth to the you within the you, the man within the man, and the woman within the woman. And that spiritual birth is the beginning of an eternal life that you are destined to share with Christ Jesus through all of eternity. So I'm going to preach a bit about this morning. And 1 Peter, Regan doesn't have this scripture, so don't worry about it, says in 3 verse 15, says that we must give a reason for the hope that we profess. So as much as faith is spiritual, faith is also intelligent. Being spiritual does not give you the excuse to be stupid. We must be able to give reason for the hope we profess. We must be able to intellectually communicate and have a reasonable basis to communicate and share with others this hope that we profess. That is why we preach from the Bible. The Bible is historic, the Bible is prophetic, and the Bible is poetic. So the Bible speaks of that which has been. The Bible, that's historic. It has an account from Genesis right the way through of the genealogy of the man that is Jesus Christ, who died and rose again on this very day 2,000 or so years ago. The Bible lays out for us in text and with a historical account of the life of Jesus Christ, but not just the life of Jesus Christ while he was on earth, but establishes from Christ back to Adam, the first man on earth, a genealogical trace, a whakapapa papa, all the way back through history. It gives us it speaks prophetically all through the Old Testament, speaking of Jesus Christ, the Messiah to come. That is Isaiah 9 is just a very short passage of one of hundreds and hundreds of prophetic messages that spoke up to 1,000 years before Christ, or even longer, because the first promise of Christ was written in Genesis 1 or 2. Speaking of the Messiah to come, but not just speaking of the Messiah to come, but also speaking of his return. That although Christ has died and been resurrected and is seated in heaven with God, he shall return for his people. He shall return and take all of us in his glory into heaven. It speaks prophetically, and the Bible speaks poetically. The Bible speaks of the real-time life and relationship people have with God. The book of Psalms, Songs of Songs, Ecclesiastes, even Proverbs speaking and foretelling of how God encounters men and women of faith in their immediate time of need. It's poetic, regurgitating, recounting the deliverance of God, the hand of God, the power of God, the patience of God, the faithfulness of God, the providence of God, the healing of God, the deliverance of God, and on it goes. We sung just but a few of the names of God in one of those songs earlier. That is why this book is essential. In an age of suspicion and misinformation, the believer must be founded like never before, deeply rooted like a tree by a stream of water, drawing our sustenance from the text and the life-giving spirit that is held within this book. Because the text in this book did not have its origins in the minds of men, but it has its origins in the Spirit of God that men wrote down as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So important, my friend, that we are founded in this book. Shout out to Alizé. Where are you? You've got your Bible here in church this morning. I saw you. We're bringing back the paperback. Okay. When you read your Bible, if you've ever, Alizé, read one of those kids' books, you know, it's a pop-up book. That's right. You know, you open the page and things pop up. That's what it's going to be like when you read your Bible. You're going to open it and it's going to be like a three-dimensional experience. You're going to see around it, you're going to see into it, and you're also going to read the text, and it's going to communicate to you on a far broader and deeper scope than just words on a page. So expect that when you open it, it's going to like pop up at you. Scriptures will pop out, words will pop out, and that's an invitation from God to you to study it. What do you mean? You go around it, you go into it, you go over it, you go under it, and you discover the fullness of what God is going to say. You're going to love it. It's going to be great. But anyway, I'm going to preach this morning from the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts. Now, the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts have the same author, which is St. Luke. He wrote the Gospel of Luke, and then he wrote the book of Acts. Now, the book of Acts is the Acts of the Apostles after the pouring out of the Holy Spirit into their lives. So Jesus died, he rose again. He said to his disciples, "Do not do anything, but go into the city and wait until you've received the gift that I've promised, the Holy Spirit." They waited, they had the upper room experience. God filled them with the power of the Holy Spirit. And from that place, they left totally transformed, awoken by the Holy Spirit, and the church began. So the book of Acts is literally the Acts of the Apostles. What the apostles did, how the church was founded, and how the church should continue to go on, filled and powered by the power of the Holy Spirit. St. Luke was born a Greek and a Gentile in Antioch. He was a physician, a doctor. That is why when you see a great stained glass image or any imagery of St. Luke, in one hand he has the gospel, in the other hand he has a leaf symbolizing healing, symbolizing that he was a doctor, a physician. Luke is the only Gentile, which is a non-Jew, to have written a book in the Bible. He is the writer of the third gospel and the book of Acts, like I've said. And his writings have been proven to be historically accurate. In his gospel, Luke emphasizes Christ's compassion for sinners and for those who suffer. The Gospel of Luke focuses on the poor and oppressed, encouraging tenderness and compassion for the less fortunate. For example, the story of Lazarus and the rich man who ignored him is told in Luke's Gospel, as is the parable of the Good Samaritan. The Gospel of Luke stresses the importance of evangelizing to the Gentiles. In the Gospel of Luke, we hear of Jesus praising the faith of Gentiles, such as the widow of Zarephath, Naaman the Syrian, and we hear the story of the grateful leper who is a Samaritan. Unlike Jewish writings, women have an important place in Luke's Gospel. Luke writes about the woman who accompanied Jesus, such as Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Susanna, and Mary and Martha, and many other women who used their own resources to help Jesus and his disciples in their ministry. That's recorded in Luke chapter 8. Why do I tell you this? Because in a world of suspicion and misinformation, it is essential that the authority and accuracy of the Bible and the writers and recorders of it are made clear, that you, my friend, as a believer and professor of Christ Jesus, may have confidence in the message and a good reason for the hope that you profess. You've not just had a spiritual experience, but you've been awoken to the age-old text of the Bible that has been proven by secular and Christian scholars time and time again to be accurate, to be a true account of historical things that took place, namely the life, death, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So when I preach the good news to you this Easter Sunday, and when you receive the salvation that is found in Christ and in Christ alone, you are doing so with confidence and with clarity. You will be moved in your heart and you will be stirred, but your mind will be filled with peace as you know that the message you have heard is sound and true, it is absolute and it is authoritative. The gospel is not just good news for the heart, it is good news for the mind and for the entire body. Philippians 4 says that the peace of God, which transcends understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The gospel is not just dealing with the hearts of humanity, it is dealing with the minds of humanity. Through the Gospels, through the New Testament, we read about being transformed by the renewing of our minds. The receiving of Christ as our Lord and Savior, so then He may be able to communicate with us through His Holy Spirit and re-educate us of who we actually are in Him. You're not just the subtotal of your mistakes or your life to date. You have been created by God Himself since before time itself began to have a relationship with Him and then work and walk out the plans and purposes that He has for your life while you're here on earth. You're not just here to eat, drink, breathe, and then ashes to ashes, dust to dust, good luck. No, no. You are meant to live this life with surety of your current existence and absolute surety of your future existence in eternity in heaven with Christ Jesus and all the rest of us. So let's start in Luke 1, verse 1. I want to read you this passage before I read you the passages out of Acts. And like I've already said, it is my heart that this Easter you would be filled with confidence and understanding, although this message is extremely short in terms of how much I would like to explain. I will explain what I can with what I have. Then you can receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. Then we will sing. You can respond and allow the God of miracles to breathe into your life and do what only He can do. Luke 1 verse 1 says, many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been filled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those from the first, from those who were from the first eyewitnesses and servants of the word. With this in mind, since I myself have carefully investigated, remember this is Luke, the physician, he's an intelligent person. I've carefully investigated everything from the beginning, and I too decided to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, a friend of Luke's, so that you may know with certainty of the things that you have been taught. This is the type of communicator Luke is. This is the type of brain he has when he wrote his gospel and when he recorded the Acts of the Apostles. His approach was logical, was ordered, and was sorted so that the readers of his writings would know with confidence and clarity of the things of which he speaks. And then we go to Acts 1:1, and it is Luke again introducing his book, and he says, in my former book, Theophilus, so he is referencing the gospel of Luke that he has written, and in particular to help Theophilus understand who Jesus Christ is with confidence and clarity. He says, in my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach up until the day he was taken to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them. He gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. So Luke is saying, yes, Jesus Christ died. He rose. And after he rose, he spent 40 days on earth. He presented himself to people so that they knew he was risen. Thomas said, Lord, how do we know it's you? He's like, put your fingers through the holes in my hand. Put your hand into the hole in my side where I was pierced. He gave physical evidence of his existence post-crucifixion and resurrection for a period of 40 days, and then he went to be in heaven with his Father and gave the Holy Spirit unto the current believers. This is establishing the type of book, the type of writer that was recording that which we are hearing this morning and I'm about to preach from. So Acts 10 verse 1 says this, at Caesarea there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion in what was known as the Italian regiment. He was Italian or Roman. He and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. One day at about 3 in the afternoon, he had a visitation, a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, Cornelius. And Cornelius stared at him in fear. What is it, Lord? He asked. The angel answered, your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before the God. Now send men to Joppa to bring back a man named Simon who is called Peter. So Cornelius has this vision from God. God says to him, send your servants. Go send for Peter, who was in Joppa, at Simon the Tanner's house by the seaside, and get him to come visit you. So Cornelius is in Caesarea and Peter is in Joppa, two very distinctly different places. And Cornelius is having this vision from God. God's turning up in his world. And then in Acts 10 verse 9, it says at about noon the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry, like, hello, fasting and praying. It's the ultimate distraction. And he wanted something to eat. And while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance, like he was asleep, but he wasn't asleep. He saw heaven opened and something like a large sheet being let down into the earth by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals, reptiles, and birds. And the voice said, Peter, get up, kill and eat. So we have got Cornelius on one side, the Roman centurion outside of the people of God. And on the other side, we have Peter, a Jew, a follower of Jesus Christ, one of his disciples. And both of them God is visiting and giving visions to in the exact same moment and bringing together the kingdom of God. This is the power of the cross. This is the power of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that he brings all people together and makes us one under him. And Peter's having a vision, and Cornelius is having a vision, and Cornelius's workers say to Peter, come to our place. Cornelius wants you to come to visit. So Peter arrives at Cornelius's house, and after a brief introduction, Peter began to speak. And he says this, I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a cross, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all people, but by witnesses who God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. This is the gospel message. This is the good news to you and to me. That doesn't matter what walk of life we're from, what country we're from, what ethnicity we're from, what social sector we are from, that God shows no favoritism. He simply calls. And Jesus said of himself, then Jesus said, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. The gospel message is sent out into the earth, sent out to you who is listening this morning, who has ears to hear, that whoever believes in him receives forgiveness of their sins through his name and everlasting life. This is the Easter message. This is God's call to you this morning. The God who has been from age to age, the God who in his divine wisdom gave us a book that we can read to clearly understand what he has done through the ages to bring Christ into the earth as a deliverer for humanity. And he has done it for you and he has done it for me, so that when we hear the gospel message, when we hear the good news, our hearts may readily receive that which Christ purchased for us through his death and through his resurrection. All you have gone through in your life is to bring you to this point. Do you think, why did I have to go through that? Why did I have to go through that relational thing, that financial thing, that emotional thing? Everything you have gone through is to bring you to this point where you are ready to receive the gospel message, where you're ready to relinquish the control that of your life from being exclusively you to co-laboring with Christ Jesus. The point of receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. There is no favoritism. The gospel is the message for all of humanity, for all who have ears to hear the message, that we would receive it. We would not harden our hearts. We would not turn our back on the message. But our hearts would say, Jesus, come take your place in my life. Prince of Peace, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, take your place in my life. And then it goes on to say that Jesus filled them with the Holy Spirit. You don't have to go through life under your own steam and your own strength. There is the Spirit of God to fill those who believe with power from heaven. This is recorded all through the book of Acts, all through the New Testament. This Spirit enabling the believers to heal the sick, to perform miracles, to live lives that in their own ability would be impossible, but in the strength of God, being enabled to function in life in a way that without him wouldn't be possible. Your life is designed for a partnership with Jesus Christ. Your life is designed to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Your heart is designed to have this God of peace dwell within it, to guard it, to watch over it. Your mind is designed to interact with God, to give you wisdom and understanding and insight, to be a brilliant problem solver, a great mathematician, a person who can understand complex things. That everyone who believes in him receives the forgiveness of sins. That when we receive Jesus Christ into our lives, it is the power of the cross imputed into us. Sins forgiven, wrongs cast away, freedom being born into the heart of the believer, liberty. This is God's desire for your life, my friend, that you'd be filled with his love and his goodness through Christ Jesus. This Easter, your life has brought you to this point, that when you hear the word of the Lord, you would receive it. That whoever has ears to hear, let them hear the good news of Jesus Christ, a Savior who was born into the earth, who died and rose again, who did for us that which we were unable to do for ourselves. I'm going to pray for you. And then we're going to sing the song, Breathe Miracles. And I want you to respond. I want you to take the moment given to you to let divinity collide with your humanity, to let God breathe into your life his power, his spirit, his ability. So we're going to pray first, then we're all going to stand together. The band will lead us in the song, and during that song, it's your invitation to get out of your seat. Come to the front. We just call this the altar, which the altar is the place of encounter. And allow God's Holy Spirit to breathe a miracle into you. Let's all bow our heads, close our eyes. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you're here. I'm just going to ask you a simple question this morning. Do you need to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior this Easter? Or do you need to re-receive him? You might have come back to church after a long time. It's sometimes necessary for us to reacquaint ourselves with Jesus. But if that's you here this morning, I want you to raise your hand. Well, no one's looking. It's just between you and God. Yeah, God bless you. Down the front, who else is there? Yeah, God bless you. Who else is there this morning? You need to give your life to Jesus. Whoever believes in him. Yeah, God bless you. God bless you, the young people. Thank you, Jesus. Who else is there this morning? Come on, raise your hand. Do not be shy. Don't think about the person to your left or to your right. This is between you and God. He is beating on your heart this morning. Receive your Lord and Savior, this Jesus that is preached and that is written of. He is the same God yesterday, today, and forevermore. Who else is there this morning? Receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. This is your Easter. This is why you are here this morning. Just going to wait a few more moments. God is pressing on some people's hearts. Feel like there's a man here and it's been a wrestle for a long time. You can trust God. You couldn't trust your own father, and I'm sorry, but God wants you to know that you can trust him. You can give your life to him. He's not going to mismanage it or mishandle it. He's going to give back to you things that you should have got as a boy, but you didn't. He's saying, come to me. Yeah, God bless you. God bless you. What a guy. God is able to restore all things. Things that we think are lost are not lost to God. Thank you, Father, for these lives. Right, why doesn't everyone stand to your feet in this place this morning? If you put your hand up, I'd love you to come to the front of church as well while we sing the song. But if you need a miracle when we sing this song, do not delay. Do not wait. Come and receive that which God has for you. God bless you, church. Happy Easter.